The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, once again, everybody. I'm Derek Gunn. Welcome to this week three edition of Gunn on One. It is powered by the Jacobs Sports Media YouTube machine. Well, the Eagles are just one of two teams remaining that are undefeated in the NFL on this young season, and they are going about their business with a flair. To break down that beatdown they put on the Washington Commanders and to look ahead to a homecoming as Doug Peterson returns to Lincoln Financial Field, I'm bringing in somebody who knows football inside and out, upside and down. He is the one and only NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. Don't go anywhere. The latest edition of Gun on One is about to drop right now.
This is Sal Palantonio from ESPN.
I'm Brandon Graham.
Lane Johnson here.
This is the magnificent DJ Jazzy Jeff.
This is Donovan McNabb.
This is Chris Long.
This is Mark Zumoff, the TV voice of the 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski.
Hello, I'm Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova basketball.
Hey, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're listening to the Gun on One podcast.
And what's happening? This is your blessed boy, Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, and you're locked in to Gun on One.
You are locked in to the Gun on One.
Gun on One.
Gun on One.
You are locked on to Gun on One.
I've been on the air for 25 years, but I could not wait to be on Gun on One with my man, Derek Gunn.
ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi telling you to stay locked on to Gun on One. It is a number one seed.
We are back with the week three edition of Gun on One. You know, we knew the Eagles had the potential to be pretty good, but I think we could all sit here and say they have presented us with a wow factor in terms of how they've gone about their business. Just one of two undefeated teams remaining in the National Football League. So to break down the Eagles this week, I brought in somebody who knows football inside and out. Somebody I've considered a friend more so than a colleague for a long time. He is not just Adam Kaplan, NFL insider. You can also follow Adam on at Kaplan NFL on Twitter. He is also on Sirius XM Radio. Been there for 19 years. And he is a partner of Inside the Birds with our colleague and friend Jeff Mosher. That man right there knows football and then some. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
Good to see you, my friend. Yeah, it's this season has been fun because there's so much parity, or as the NFL calls competitive balance, which is what the league wants. And as you said, to start this, only two teams undefeated. I certainly would not have picked the Dolphins to be, although I told people that the Eagles should be lucky when Jeff Mosher and I were breaking down our picks for the season.
Yep.
And the Eagles' schedule, I said, be careful. The Eagles have a good schedule, in fact, one of the best. Be glad that they're not playing the Dolphins, but the Dolphins are better than I actually anticipated because their offense is so dynamic. But, yeah, the Eagles, D-Gun, they've got a pretty good offense too, and it's certainly been fun to watch.
You know, Cap, I love to look at the various outlets that like to do the power rankings week in and week out. All of a sudden, the Eagles are at the top of the pecking order now on the power rankings. Do you agree that right now they're the best team in the NFL?
Well, the best team in the NFC, if you want to say that, I don't have a problem with it. So it's funny you mentioned that. So we have power rankings up. We put them up on Tuesday. See, I do them a little differently. I project, okay, what does the team look like now? What are they going to look like at the end of the season? So I have the Bucs one, and I have the Eagles two. The Eagles schedule is the best of the National Football League. I graded it third best to start the season. It's actually better than I thought.
Yep.
They've got a break, but we're not going to really know about this team until they play the Cowboys twice and they play the Packers. Mm-hmm. That's when you're really going to know. But what else could you say about this team so far 3-0? They've been dominant.
No question about it. And, of course, you have to start with that young quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Now, you know how Philadelphia fans get. You know, they get overzealous at times, and then all of a sudden when the bottom falls out, they want to jump off the Walt Whitman Bridge. But they're already talking about Jalen Hurts and tying the word franchise to him. Are you ready to utter the word franchise, or are you like me? You still have a little bit of wait and see with him before you want to put that word next to his name.
Yeah, look, I know some people are already saying it. It's ridiculous. Guy's played three elite games, I would say. Last year was certainly up and down. You got to be careful because last year when he got off to a rough start, the head coach made a decision, and a smart one, mm-hmm. to not have him throw enough, throw a lot. Well below the league average per game, 24.9 attempts per game after week six. Bottom five in pass attempts per game. That tells you that they didn't want him throwing the football. Mm-hmm. Now you look at it now, and they're giving him the football to throw. They're letting him throw. The fact they're asking him to throw a lot this past game, the most in one half of any of the games that he started as an Eagle going back to 2020. And you're seeing the maturation. But you and I know we've covered this league now for well over two decades.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just say he's your starter for the future after three games. You try to build him last year. Yes, they still made the playoffs with him. But now he's leading the charge, and he's got everything you want. High character, leadership, arm's better than you think. Plenty of arm. It may not be an elite arm in terms of arm strength, but it's plenty. Mm-hmm. And as you know, being around the team, the players adore him. The owner was involved in the drafting of him, and it all works. Look, and the head coach and the O coordinator have been terrific managing him along with the quarterback coach. So let's just wait on this, but. In terms of character, intangibles, the family, you know, the dad was a coach, brought up really well. It all looks good, but you have to play out the season first.
Is there any flaw in his game that you can see right now?
Well, Derek, the big one last year, and the reason why, look, he struggled at times was, and the people who have really studied the tape know this. This is not a secret to them. It's been obvious. He would bail from the pocket too much. He wouldn't let the play go. He'd break the pocket too much. It's not that I'm comparing him to Steve Young. Let me be careful here.
Right.
But Steve Young had the same issue. Steve Young said until he trusted Bill Walsh's West Coast offense, he was going to be a runner. That's all he knew how to do.
Yeah.
But with Tampa Bay, he ran for his life. They had a bad old line. So Steve said once he trusted the system and trusted his coaches, his career took off. I'm not saying he's going to be Steve Young. Let's be Steve Young's Hall of Famer. But running quarterbacks tend to keep running. But at some point, like you know, you were here with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
Donovan stopped running a lot after his first couple of years. His first year was ridiculous. Like he didn't let the progressions go. Hurts he's developing as it's an RPO type offense, but he's gone through two progressions every once in a while, three, but he's generally now he's gone from one last year now to two, and he's really developing as a passer. And boy, he throws a nice ball. Mm-hmm. You saw this last game against Washington. So how many shot plays did they take? It was so much fun to watch this offense because my sense is, Derek, that Sirianni and Steichen and Kevin Petullo in particular, because that's his right-hand man, the run of the offense that they wanted to run when they got here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no question about it. I think as we've watched the accelerated maturation of Jalen Hurts, as we sit here right now, I think he's checked all the boxes. In terms of better accuracy, he's completing passes at a 67% clip, seven total touchdowns, going through progressions. Now, that first game, he had to run for his life against Detroit because Aaron Glenn simply brought the house on him every chance he got. But I love the way he picked apart Minnesota the next week, and I loved how he picked apart the Washington Commanders. If you could define one thing that really jumps out at you about his accelerated maturation, what is it?
The one thing, this one is really important.
Okay.
His willingness to be coached.
There you go.
You cannot make that. Now, I understand some people will point to the tape and say, listen, he was not under pressure the last two games. That's a fact. But last year, Derek, when he was protected, well, he didn't always throw it. In fact, he'd bail.
Yeah.
He didn't believe, he didn't trust what he was seeing. Now he trusts his eyes. But his willingness to be coached hard, I don't think people understand. If you're not willing to be coached hard, you're never going to make it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's ever going to be elite, but if he's going to be this, you asked a question about the franchise quarterback.
Yep.
You've been to practice. You know Nick Sirianni is a yeller. He will get in your face. He's going to do it. And I love when Hurts said he wants to be coached hard. I mean, I love that. It's funny the way you asked it. I could have said 10 things.
Yep.
That covering this business and knowing so many quarterback coaches and OCs over the years, and it's so important. If you want to be coached, the coach is going to get in your face. If you don't like it, you'll never make it.
Mm. Well said. Entering week number three, there were 6 undefeated teams still left in the league. Now we're down to 2. The Eagles are one of them. What's your general overall assessment of what you've seen from this team so far on both sides of the ball?
Well, the big surprise, I'm not surprised on the offense because we had said on Inside the Birds they're going to be a passing team. They will no longer be a running team. It's just sometimes if a run defense is so bad, you may stay with it, but they want to be a passing team, so that's not surprising. What surprised me the last 2 weeks after week one, though there was some good stuff from Jonathan Gannon, the D coordinator, against Detroit in the first half. He was too passive in the second half. They're very lucky that they had such a big lead. Now, I love the way he called the game. He brought the house in the second game. It wasn't the percentage. It's how he did it. You have to get past numbers and give context. Too many people in our business throw out numbers. They have no idea what they mean, or they don't understand how coaches look at it. It's how he did it. It's zone blitzes. It's using T.J. Edwards, as of all people, as a blitzer, who's actually been great, just as an overall linebacker, and how he used them this past game. They didn't blitz a lot. Mostly 5-man pressure, had 1 7-man pressure that I'm aware of, but the coverage on the back end was terrific. So I would say, look, the maturation of Jonathan Gannon to me has been really the story of this football team. Because as you know, being in this market, the fans wanted him fired. They wanted him fired off the plane in Detroit.
I'm glad you brought up a coordinator because last year, I think a lot of us were shocked that Gannon was getting a lot of so-called head coaching interviews. When we look at this offense in particular through the first 3 games, and Nick Sirianni told us back in the summer that Shane Steichen will be calling the plays. And look at the 3 types of games he called up to this point. Would you agree that if he continues on this trend, he's going to get his share of head coaching interviews after this season?
Yeah, well, first of all, Gannon was a runner-up for the Texans job. So now I agree with your point. I'm like, kind of like you, like, do people really know that he was passive last year? Now, I understand it was a personnel issue. We actually addressed this on Inside the Birds this week.
Okay.
Actually, what we've seen and what we've been told what the defense looks like, but and how aggressive he's been compared to last year. But the fact of the matter is, you know this, because covering Andy Reid in the early years when you came to Philly, in the 90s, as you saw the coaches being picked off, Ron Rivera picked off as a head coach, Steve Spagnuolo picked off as head coach. Sean McDermott, obviously later, part of the Andy tree. That was a little bit weird the way it went down. But John Harbaugh, obviously, was still an amazing coach. One of the best in the league for years. It just happens. You're 100% right. If you're on a marquee team, we're not criticizing Gannon. I'm just saying, no matter whether you think the guy is a good coach or a bad coach is irrelevant, it's the way the league sees him. And coming into last year, he was the one name you heard off the staff was probably going to be a head coach someday, and he will. And if he keeps this up, it'll be sooner. It'll be in 23 for sure.
You know, when you look at this wide receiving core, you look at Devontae Smith, not just athletic, but acrobatic, as we saw against Washington. You have A.J. Brown, who we like to refer to as a grown man.
Man.
You know, you can now cover him one-on-one. And then you have the gazelle in Quez Watkins. When was the last time the Eagles had a collection of receivers like this?
Funny story. So Mosher and I – We like to reminisce about, you know, former rosters and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you looked at the receiver room 2 years ago, and we lamented it. It was so – like Rager, who – 2020, at least that's when he actually showed some promise, and 21 was a disaster. 22, they traded him. But John Hightower no longer on the team. Quez was immature then. Travis Fulgham was very immature. Extremely talented, by the way. Very talented, but needed to grow up. They just had a bad room, and D-Jax was there. You know, he got hurt. So it was a bad room. And then you look at 22, Howie Roseman, the GM, completely transformed the room. And by the way, I'm sure it was not lost on him that they had to get stronger and more mature.
Yeah.
And he's done that. He's transferred this roster. Jeff and I have had our criticisms of the general manager last couple of years, but when we deserve praise, we give him praise. And A.J. Brown is a particular player I'm very familiar with. I've been to the Titans camp twice. He's an unbelievable guy, unbelievably competitive. If he stays healthy for the next 3 years, he'll be one of the best receivers in Eagles history. He's a special football player. I wish you were there. I don't think you were there at the two Cleveland practices in Berea.
No.
It was unbelievable, the show he put on. I wish the fans could have seen the practice tape. I'm laughing because I'm like, please be. I know I'm going to be right on this guy. I was like, I just hope people could see what I see.
Yeah.
See and the thing that surprised me is the chemistry that I know Hurts and Brown are best friends off the field, but that doesn't really mean anything in terms of football.
Mm-hmm.
But it does when you trust each other to go get the football. And the trust that Hurts and Brown have has been pretty remarkable this fast.
Kev, when you look at the way the quarterback's playing, the array of offensive weapons the quarterback has to throw to, one of the top two or three offensive lines in the National Football League, a good trio of running backs. Two questions in one. Can this offense be stopped? And if so, what type of defensive scheme can stop it?
One where you have a tremendous front seven, like Dallas and Dan Quinn's scheme.
Yeah.
He no longer runs the cover three. Actually, he's junked it. He's more man than anything else. He moves.
People didn't want to hear you say Dallas.
I know, but Michael Parsons must be the best defensive player in the NFL other than Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. He's great. The scheme is really good. Now, do they have beatable corners? Yes, but you have to be able to protect. If you can protect, you can get Trayvon Diggs. Like, he'll give up a lot. He'll make plays, but he'll give up a lot of plays. Jaron Curse is their tight end cover guy, 6'4" safety. He's out for a bit. But I'll tell you what, their defense could give them problems. Now, Green Bay's got an excellent defense.
Yes.
The deepest defense in the National Football League. They're so good. Joe Barry does a good job. And Rasul Douglas, of all people, one of the stories I'll never understand because he was awful here, but great story of development. As he's now, he was a starter last year. He's more of a nickel now, but he's really good. So those teams, and you know, if you go through the schedule, I don't know why people are worried about Arizona. I mean, look, anyone could beat anybody on a given week. They've played bad football, particularly in offense. Their defense did a decent job last week. I wouldn't be worried about them, Eagle fans. I'd be worried about Dallas twice in Green Bay. Those are the teams, to answer your question, I'd be concerned about.
All right, let's talk about the former franchise quarterback that was here, guy we got to see on Sunday, and Carson Wentz. And you know what, Cap, I came away saying his game continues to erode. I thought I was going to see a different Carson Wentz. He still holds the ball too long. He's indecisive. And his sidewinder throwing motion for a guy that's 6'5" drives me nuts. How would you categorize what the Carson Wentz we had to watch on Sunday?
See, with Wentz, it's never been about arm talent. He's
right,
unbelievably talented. Like, if you talk to NFL people, they'll tell you that. But here's the problem. We've been outlining now for 4 years with Wentz on Inside the Birds exclusively. His footwork, okay. It's called an overstride.
Yeah.
If you're watching us here, I assume you're watching people and me on YouTube, Indie Gun. See my hands? See my hands as I lean back? This is how far he spreads his feet. That causes the ball to sail. And he has no control over it. He's been coached to get this out of his game. You cannot win by arm strength alone or aggressiveness and talent. He hurts himself by not making these corrections. It's kind of what you're – and it's also what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it causes the inaccuracy. Easy throws sail on him. He has no control over it. This is embarrassing. This guy's been in the league 7 years. Again, it's not even about talent anymore. It's about, can you do the job? I think that's what we're all looking at here with this guy. And he's just going to keep floating from team to team if this doesn't stop. Now, I'll say this. The one thing I would have liked to have seen, and Scott Turner's done a phenomenal job with Washington, to be clear here, but I would have liked Scott to see him shorten up Wentz's drops, too many seven steps. His line was terrible on Sunday. They've got a bottom five to bottom 7-0 line to begin with. When you're, this is what coaches have taught me over the years. When your quarterback is struggling on deeper drops, get it out of his hands quickly. Get him comfortable and get him accurate as much as you can. And they didn't do that, and the ball sailed on him. And it was, as you said, holding on to the ball too long. And then here's your other thing. Check the ball down. Thank you. I remember our first set, Mosher's got Jeff has had his issues with whatever's going on with the Eagles, and I would have my one pet peeve. I would yell, check the bleeping ball down, man. It's there for you. Now, previous to this game, he was. And my friend Greg Cosell, who does our postgame show on Inside the Birds, said, hey, by the way, man, just let you know, Wentz is actually checking the ball down the first couple games. I'm like, okay. Well, he didn't do it in the third game. It was embarrassing. So it's my soapbox. I'm someone who studies the quarterback position, and it's you can make it so much easier on yourself if you play the right way, and he's not right now.
Do you think Wentz is at a point where, if it continues to spiral downward the way it has, we're looking at the last of Carson Wentz being considered a full-time starter in the National Football League, and he can end up being a journeyman, going wherever somebody might need a quick fix?
Sure. I mean, he could be a Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, see the thing.
There you go.
If he just take responsibility, this is what the Colts had a problem with. The best quarterbacks in the world, the reason why Tom Brady in particular is the best to ever play, it's never anyone else's fault. It's my fault. Even if the center snapped it over 20 yards over his head, he would find some reason to blame himself. And, you know, the Colts had a lot of problems with him. His leadership, obviously, he wasn't available leading up to the Jacksonville game where he struggled. What the shame of it is, he, for the most part, last season, he played pretty well. Up and down the first two games, did bring the game, the team back against Detroit, where he had a bad half. Mm-hmm. And they had the ball, they were able to tie it. They would have got a 2-point conversion with a touchdown, but they didn't convert. But the fact of the matter is, this last game, everything we saw in 2020 seemed to manifest itself in this game. It was like you couldn't have gotten that tape and put up the 22 and tell the difference. From this past game and in 2020 where he got benched, he was so lost in 2020. I'm not saying he's lost, but we're getting to the crisis point with him. I know it's only three games.
Yep.
But when you play this badly, yes, the offensive line was bad. Yes, they needed to help him overall with the game plan. But at some point, the quarterback's got to take responsibility, say, it's my fault, this will never happen again, and do it. And he hasn't done it yet.
I couldn't agree with you more. So we go from the former franchise quarterback to the former head coach who gave this city their only Super Bowl Lombardi trophy. And when I look at this Jacksonville Jaguars team, as Doug Peterson will make his return to Lincoln Financial Field this coming Sunday, I thought it would be another year cap before Jacksonville would be considered a player in the AFC. But my goodness, with the draft they've had this year, with the acceleration of Trevor Lawrence, they're coming off two impressive wins. They shut out the Colts, who, by the way, held Kansas City to 17 points. And then they put a thumping on the Chargers. Yes, Justin Herbert was hurting. But I always say, if you're well enough to get on the football field, you're well enough to play. They held those two teams to a grand total of 10 points. Are you surprised at how quickly Doug has turned this thing around down there?
I mean, I think it's 62 to 10 over the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's unbelievable. Jeez. Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I was at their camp for one day or 2 days. I can't remember. One or 2 days in August. And I'm like, wow, they're really young. They're athletic. But they're so young, and this is a new staff running two different, completely different schemes. It's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. Yes, to answer your question, this is the team I'm clearly going to get wrong, because, first of all, the division's the worst in the NFL. It's terrible. Yes. We can't call the NFC least the NFL NFC least anymore. It's not. Dallas is good. The Eagles are good, really good. Washington is at least competitive. Giants are actually competitive, but they got their own problems. But the AFC South is so bad that right now, I mean, this is crazy for me to say this, but it's what I think based on what I've seen and what I've been told. They're the best team right now in the AFC South. And yeah, great way to set it up. They're well ahead of schedule. The thing, folks, you're going to see when you watch this game Sunday, I'm not saying the Eagles won't win, but they're super athletic. Now, they're very young. They're very young. They don't have Dallas' experience or Green Bay's on defense, but they're super long and athletic. They got a lot of talent on all three levels in defense. This is a fascinating matchup. I'm glad you brought this up.
Hey, Trevor Lawrence getting out from under Urban Meyer is like getting the biggest Christmas gift you could possibly get on Christmas morning. We knew he had elite talent capability. But in just a year's time, what I'm seeing him do under Doug Peterson's leadership, Mike McCoy, Press Taylor, now he's starting to play like a legit NFL quarterback. What have you seen in terms of him turning his game around from last year to this year?
Yeah, my understanding is he's getting rid of the ball faster, which means he's processing faster. He's not thinking as much. He's not bailing as much. Now, his mechanics, I saw this at training camp. He has an issue where he backpedals a little bit, and then he throws off his back foot to get juice on the ball. It's not a good way to do it. That bothers me. He's got a little bit of issue with his footwork. If you pressure him, he can bail. He's last year he didn't play well, but again, it was Urban Meyer experience. He was not coached well, particularly well. It was a disaster. He's coached better now. I like what I've seen. They have a really good pass target group, and Christian Kirk is playing out of his mind. And I saw this in training camp. By the way, they're moving him everywhere.
Yeah.
He's a guy that Avonte Maddox is probably going to have to cover. Eagles play a lot of zone, so he'll be in the zone. They're going to have to be on their P's and Q's in this matchup. Zay Jones has revived his career after a tough experience as a second-round pick for Buffalo. He did well for the Raiders. He takes the game to another level. They have a decent running game with James Robinson, who's done a good job coming with his Achilles. ETN's more of a chess piece at running back. Their must-be-line line has played very well this season. I'll tell you what, they're an interesting test. Dallas and Green Bay, they're better. But this is a game I'd put in that group. That's another team that will be a test.
How much does offensive coordinator Press Taylor and the quarterback coach Mike McCoy, how much credit do they get for helping turn Trevor Lawrence around?
Well, I'd say Doug Peterson, too. It's his scheme. They're running the same scheme they ran in Philly in 16 and 17 when they were 11 personnel team, three receivers and one tight end. They changed when Goddard was drafted. They had to account for Ertz and Goddard. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when you see their tight ends, they're flex tight ends, especially the tight end who came from
Evan Ingram.
Yeah, thank you. Evan Ingram, who came from the Giants, and the kid who came from the Panthers. They're both flex tight ends, but Ingram is number 17. He's a flex tight end. Super athletic. He's done very well so far. Not the biggest guy in the world. He's really a receiver playing tight end.
So, look,
it's a challenge for the Eagles. They're going to spread him out. But the Eagles are clearly a better team, but it could be a fun matchup on Sunday. Yeah.
You were talking about the Jaguars' offensive line, especially that right side. You have Brandon Scherff, they got from Washington playing guard, and Jawan Taylor there. I think those two are solid on that right side for Jacksonville.
Sheriff's a stud. His injury history has been the problem why Washington couldn't keep paying him. Jawan Taylor's been inconsistent.
Okay.
Over his career. Cam Robinson's a solid left tackle. The kid Fortner is a young player at center, replaces Brandon Linder, who retired. They've reformed this offensive line. They've done very well, I got to tell you. We'll see if they win a division. They should. Tennessee had a great win, their first win of the season, but they're so beat up physically. By the way, and I don't want to jinx the Jaguars, but I have to say it, the Jaguars, by NFL metrics, are the healthiest team in the National Football League.
Oh, wow. No kidding. Huh. Wow. When you look at this Jaguars defense, you talk about the youth on this defense, but this is a defense that's only given up 55 yards a game rushing. You look at who the leader is on that defense. They're allowing 12.7 points a game. That first-round pick they picked up in Devin Lloyd, I jokingly said it, but I'm starting to believe it. He's the Michael Parsons in the AFC right now. This kid is all over the place.
He is. He's not the pass rusher the Parsons is, but he's a tackling machine. He's got good size. In fact, Trent Baalke, the GM, this is a typical Trent Baalke team.
Okay.
He's big on height, weight, speed. He's a big measurables guy. He's the guy who put together the Super Bowl team in 2012, early in his career as a GM, and unfortunately, it didn't work out with him for various reasons with the Niners. But if you look at Josh Allen, who he inherited, Dave Caldwell drafted him, who's now with the Eagles. Ulukuna is a really talented linebacker from Yale. Not a lot of people know about him. Arden Key is very gifted. He'll play stand-up outside linebacker or play with his hand down. He may play inside when they go to 40 front. They're a 34 front.
Yeah.
By Mike Caldwell, former Eagles player and also assistant coach. You might remember Mike.
Yep.
Who's at Todd Ball's disciple. You know they're going to blitz a lot.
Yep.
We're very strong on the back end. All of a sudden, it's crazy. They have so many new Fadukasi's a great run defender. Yep. Number 94. Josh Allen, who I mentioned, is a great pass rusher. Trevon Walker's got off to that good start. He had a great interception against Washington out of the blue. No, you're right, man. This is a very talented defense. I'm so interested to see how the Eagles try to attack this defense. This is the best defense out of the four games that they're going to face. I'm fascinated to see how they're going to do this one.
I'm glad you brought up the name Mike Caldwell, because I was going to bring it up next. When he was here as a player, very quiet guy, very likable, didn't say a whole lot, knew his role on this team. I never thought he would emerge as one of the better defensive coordinators in the National Football League, and so he has. Anytime you mention his name, people just throw accolades his way because of how he has ascended up the ranks.
Yeah, very, really nice guy. I remember with the Browns as a player. Yeah, and he's a Todd disciple. So, yeah, this is the way the league is. Their disciples get jobs. It's just the guys who are really good at their job, like Balls, get their spawn, so to speak.
Yeah.
Get jobs. Look, that's the way it is. You and I know this. But, yeah, look, they're one of the youngest teams in the league. they've got tremendous athleticism and length. This is the way that Bulky put together the team for Doug. Doug's got a lot more, but Doug's got a lot of control here, by the way, with the roster. He got who he wanted in free agency. Christian Kirk's a stud right now at wide receiver. I'm so looking forward to this matchup on Sunday. And Chad Mumma can't even get on the field. It was a third round. A lot of people like a linebacker. Jeez. It's good, man. No, this is, and they're deep at corner. Cisco, the safety, had a ton of interceptions at Syracuse. So I can't wait for this matchup. This one, we'll see. You know, one more thing. I know people bring up the letdown against Washington, which I knew would not happen. I get it's Doug Peterson. Some of these players weren't around here. But this is a non-conference game. This is a game where, and I know it's home. I do wonder how much juice the Eagles will have for this game and how much they'll be up for it. We'll see.
Okay. You know, this Eagles secondary, they had Justin Jefferson under wraps. Terry McLaurin was a non-factor. All right, so now you look at this kid, Christian Kirk, and as you just alluded to, he's all over the field making great plays. He's number 8, I believe, in the league in reception yards right now. How do you defend against him?
Well, the Eagles are mostly a zone team, so it's, you know, the guys in there, whenever he comes into the zone, they have to play tighter coverage. They were super tight against Washington. That's how they shut him down. He's just, Doug, he's what we call a Z receiver, which means he's their move guy.
Yep.
Marvin Jones more or less stays on one side, I believe. But the fact of the matter is Kirk, who's had a lot of injury issues, he's a little smaller. He's about 5'10 and a half.
Yep.
He's always been fast, but he just gets hurt a lot. He's making $18 million a year, and people could not believe it. You know, the Eagles were in on this one very early, but they got out very early. Once they knew what he – in fact, they didn't make an offer. They just wanted to see what he wanted and see if they could be in it. They were never really in it because the agent told every team, I got a big deal coming, and a lot of teams dropped off. But I'll tell you what, this kid's fun. They line him up all over the place. He's fast. He's explosive. Marvin Jones is there. He's 6'2". Good possession receiver. Runs after the catch. Who's been in the league a long time, formerly of Detroit and Cincy. Boy, Jamal Agnew, before he had a bad injury last year. He was like one of the big playmakers last year. He was a punt and kickoff returner and a cornerback in his career. The Detroit moved to receivers last year there.
Yep.
He's a playmaker. This is, I'm telling you, as you and I go through this roster, this is going to be an interesting matchup.
Hey, Cap, as always, man, I love your perspectives. That's why I asked you to be on Gun on One. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got like 85,000 jobs, but I appreciate you giving Gun on One a half hour, man. And, of course, hopefully I can hit you up again down the road sometime as the season continues to unfold.
Absolutely, my friend. And check us out on Inside the Birds, all of our platforms. And
yes.
With Yvonne and Cosell. Now, you used to work for us. We loved having you for Grill and Burns with Trey. And Trey's on our post-game show. Yvonne and Quentin Michael in Q&A. No, it's great. I'm glad you're doing well, man. I'm loving what you're doing, man, and keep it up.
Appreciate it, brother. And, of course, if you don't know now, you know, follow Adam Kaplan on at Kaplan NFL on Twitter. You can also find him on SiriusXM Radio. He's been there for 19 years and counting. And, of course, as we mentioned, he's a co-owner of Inside the Birds with our colleague and friend, Jeff Mosher. All right, that's going to wrap up this latest edition of Gun on One. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. It is powered by the Jacob Sports Media YouTube machine. For my man, Adam Kaplan, I'm Derek Gunn. Stay blessed out there, everybody. More importantly, be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next week, so long.
The greatest fans on earth. It's a bold statement, but would you expect anything less from Philadelphia? 58 years of heartache creates a toughness, a grit, a resolve not found in most. Sure, our prayers were answered, but now that we've had a taste, we're looking for more. Pondley Hockey, official partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.